It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome to Hour 2. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll at 11:30 or so. And we have a giveaway that fits that segment, so we'll do that during that time. And considering what happened last night in the Dolphins-Bills game, CJ talked about something that's probably something every quarterback should take into account. Now, in last night's game, the quarterback was the one who took on the big hit and the head injury. But CJ, in a conversation with Stephon Diggs after a play, it was noticed, and a question was asked of him about how he wants to protect his players from taking big hits that obviously can lead to bigger issues that a guy like Tua is facing right now. Here is CJ Stroud on what he likes to do to protect his players.
So those guys, I'll try my best to never throw you guys in a headache. Because I wouldn't want that done to me, you know what I mean? And I remember watching Brady break down film one time, and there's a lot of defensive calls that get called against the defense, but it's really the quarterback's fault for throwing him into bad coverage or, like, not seeing the whole field. So, you know, just like it is for the defenders not to kill defenseless guys, which sometimes I don't agree with because, I mean, that's the nature of the game is, you know, if somebody's willing to get smacked, you got to do what you got to do, set a tone. And it's our job, too, to protect our players. So I'm a firm believer in just having trust from day one on, like, man, CJ's not going to throw me into something that, like, is going to get me hurt. So I definitely do think, like, that's a big thing that I honor myself. Like, I don't want to do that to my teammates ever.
CJ Stroud on some responsibility he takes in protecting his guys. And it's part of the deal. I think even Tom Brady talked about this earlier in the summer about not only quarterbacks being baby, but also what they have to do to protect their guys when they're throwing the football. Now, I don't know how you want to put it, but last night was a quarterback making a decision that in the moment people were saying was wrong considering his history. It was fourth down. Late in the third quarter, Dolphins down by 3 touchdowns, and Tua ran for a first down. He had talked all offseason about needing to make more plays with his feet to help the offense. I think earlier in the game he had ran for a first down on third down, maybe 3rd and 11 or something. So it was part of what he wanted to add to his game. In this case, after picking up a first down, I think he was caught in a thing where he might not have known where the line of gain was, so he thought he had to lower his head. He lowers his head into DeMar Hamlin's chest. DeMar Hamlin, of all people, and it looked like a routine play until you saw the fencing position of his hands and the fact that he wasn't getting up, and then you knew there was big trouble until it was ruled out 6 minutes. They said 6 minutes after they took him back to the examining room, he was ruled out, but you didn't need that 6 minutes. You saw where his hands were. Although Amazon didn't really show that part of it again. What they did, they showed the initial impact, but you never got the initial live shot ever again. I think that probably was a decision they made. So, of course, the pundits on air are talking about what should he do? He has to retire. Someone needs to step in. That was Ryan Clark's lease. That was the caption under the video. I did not watch it, but Ryan Clark apparently had a very impassioned plea. And he said that someone should step in for Tua, I guess, and make this decision for him. Damian Woody said he worries for his health. There have been others. You guys all saw people tweeting about how this should be the end. In fact, Sean said he saw a lot of people say, Scott, he should hang it up. He needs to hang it up.
The phrase, hang it up.
Yes, exactly.
It was always, like, if you look it up, just in quotes, like, Tua, hang it up. Every single person, no one said retire. Everyone said hang it up. It's crazy.
From Shannon Sharp. Now that he's done with Michelle, He's commenting on football again. He said Tua needs to hang it up. Everyone pretty much said he needs to take his health into account when it comes to his career. Well, his head coach tells you to cut that out. Not that he shouldn't consider his health, but to stop talking about his career right now. Mike McDaniel this morning, talking to the media, says, I am not considering the timeline for him to play. This is all about him and his health, and talking about his career just adds to the anxiety and the immediate aftermath of a concussion and the recovery. He should not be thinking about that at all. He said the doctors and Tua will make this decision. This ain't got nothing to do with what I think. I'm not an expert, so I'm not going to comment on that. That will be a decision for people who know more about it than me. So the coach says, hey, cut it out. And from my perspective, it's like I don't have a – Sean and I talked about this off air. From my perspective, I don't have an opinion on whether he should play or not. He's an adult. If he wants to play, he'll play. If he doesn't and he wants to make that choice, then he's well within his rights to say, I am not doing this anymore. I guess it's part of the what you have to do for the job, but I can't believe so many people are so passionate about it one way or the other when you know it's – really going to be up to the doctors and the player. And if the player wants to play, he'll play. And if he doesn't, he'll say enough. I always think back to Sidney Crosby because he was one of those guys early in his career who had concussions and he kept playing. A lot of times the player will keep playing and will, and I don't listen to hockey commentary on a daily basis, but when I would watch hockey, no one was like, well, Sidney Crosby, can't believe he's out there playing. We all forget, and this will happen. Like we forgot last year when Tua played 17 games. People stopped talking about it until it popped up again. So it's a discussion for the next, maybe the discussion's even over. But once the NFL games kick off on Sunday, we'll have those morning shows discussing it, and then it'll be over. We'll be back to football again. And, of course, if Tua decides to come back and play, that discussion will pick up again about questioning the decision. And then we'll all forget about it again because once the games start, that's all we really care about. So if you listen to the man who coaches him, cut it out. Although I know no one will do that because we're content driven.
Yeah, gotta talk about something today.
The 31-10 result of the game is just typical for Dolphins Bills. We talked about it in the first segment. The Dolphins get their ass kicked by the Bills like at one point the Colts beat up on the Texans. In fact, it's like what the Patriots did to the Bills for 15 years, and now the Bills have their own foil to do it to. The game itself, like Josh Allen didn't have to do much. The turnovers, thanks to backup wide receivers either not looking for the ball or running the wrong route. Shout out to Robbie, Chosen, Anderson. I think those are the conglomeration of names he's chosen over the last 5 years or so.
He's what?
Robbie, Chosen, Anderson. Those are all the names.
That he's chosen?
Yes. Those are all the names he's picked to have people call
him.
Yeah,
I think it was Chosen, Anderson, Robbie, Chosen.
No.
I don't know where we're at. I think we're at Robbie, Chosen.
I think we're at Robbie, Chosen right now. He ran the wrong route. The waiver wire pickup that was in on that first pick did not turn his head. Backup receivers cause your problems. So the Bills ran the ball down the Dolphins' throat. James Cook had two scores running, another receiving. As a person who roots for the other team in that stadium, James Cook's brother did that for Florida State in that stadium to the Canes over and over again. So I was like, oh, that's familiar. I remember that. I remember some guy named Cook ruining my night. Happened again. It was a very familiar scenario. And then, unfortunately, another familiar scenario happened late in that third quarter where another Tua concussion. By the way, this all started against the Bills in 2022 where he played after what people thought was a concussion. The Dolphins and the doctors in that case said we didn't diagnose him with the concussion. Then, of course, on Thursday night, once again, against the Bengals in 2022, he had the horrific one where he had to be carted off the field on a stretcher. And, of course, he came back, played well, and then got hurt with another one. On I think it was Christmas Day against the Packers. So that's where we are. I think we're now we're about 20 months removed from his concussion against the Packers. So going forward, it'll be up to him and his doctors, and we'll see where we're at.
Yeah, we'll see how long Tua's out. Now, there is a free agent quarterback.
Which one do you think you want to torture me with? Which one?
The one with experience in Miami.
Does he have experience in that system?
A little bit. A system close to it.
Hmm. You're talking about Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill.
Best
free agent quarterback available.
Well, Mike McDaniel in the presser where he was discussing it's not right to talk about Tua's timeline.
Oh, don't hit me with it's not right.
That's what he said. Not me.
But are you going to say it's not right to speculate?
No, I'm saying what the coach said.
Okay.
Anyone else? I just said we're all content driven. So do what you want to do.
Make some content.
I'm not saying don't talk about it. I'm talking about what the coach said. He said cut it out, but do whatever you want. He can't boss you around. Mike McDaniel can't boss you around.
He'll never know I said that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm not going to send him the clip. Don't worry about it. Me and Mike, good boys, good friends. We know Tannehill apparently is being very picky because there was some thought that the Packers reached out to him, and he decided, you know what, I want to be a longer-term starter. I don't want to be a spot starter. We'll see how long.
All right, dude.
So the Dolphins would be an option. Now, they're going with Skylar Thompson at this point, but as far as maybe he wanted to start 7 games or 8, or maybe if Tua has to sit out the year, start the rest, that would be an option for him. He does want to be a starter. He doesn't want to be a spot starter who loses his job once the established starter comes back. That's apparently Ryan Tannehill's approach.
All right, Ryan Tannehill.
He's not in a great position to make demands, but all he's doing is waiting for a big injury, and he got one already. Well, he got two, but he got a bigger one last night where he's just saying, all right, maybe I turn this into a bidding war at some point. Just take advantage of my situation.
I'd wait until Sunday, see if someone else gets hurt.
Yeah, I rush it.
Is the other quarterback with experience of the system you're going to mention Davis Mills?
I was not. I did see some Texans account go, you know who the Dolphins should take a look at? Okay.
The man just got a new deal.
I know you're maneuvering for a pick, but relax. He's your backup. By the way, there's no guarantee that C.J. Stroud's going to make it through the season. So maybe you want to keep your backup quarterback. I don't know why you're such in a rush to trade your backup.
All to get like a fifth-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. See, another guy just trade Davis Mills to Miami. You would like a good backup. I know you operate in a fantasy world where no quarterbacks get hurt, but your quarterback missed 2 games because of concussion last year. Maybe don't trade Davis Mills.
If Davis Mills gets hurt, like if CJ gets hurt, if Davis Mills gets hurt, what are we talking? Case Keenum's out for the year.
Yeah.
Are we doing Tim Boyles a heartbeat away from being the starting quarterback of your Houston Texans?
No, he's a heartbeat away actually from being the starting quarterback for the Dolphins because he's their practice squad quarterback right now.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So don't say trade Davis Mills. You might need him. In fact, the odds say you will need him at some point. You don't want to trade Davis Mills.
No. Well,
unless you think some team's so desperate they're going to give you a second-day pick for him.
You might want to trade Davis Mills,
but it's not smart to trade Davis Mills. Operating like your quarterback's going to make it through 17 games is silly.
Yeah. So it's the Skylar Thompson era in Miami?
For now.
Okay.
And you should spell that Error. Oh. I've seen him play. Sorry.
He hung in there in the playoffs that one time.
Yes, because you picked off, you had a strip sack fumble. You returned to punt deep into Buffalo territory. Yeah, he happened to be quarterbacking when he threw 3 picks in that game. He happened to be on the field.
That's one of the classic where if you just look at the score.
He kept him in.
You're like, wow, dude, Caleb. Skylar Thompson made himself a little bit of money. And then you look at his stats, you're like, no, he didn't.
The lasting impression.
He played exactly how you thought he would.
The lasting impression from that game was on fourth down. It was like 4th and 5. The Dolphins are still in it, trying to drive to tie or win the game. Tyreek Hill comes open over the middle in between a zone, between two linebackers. Skylar Thompson holds the ball, doesn't make the throw. And you see they flash at Tyreek Hill as in a replay, and he's just shaking his head like, I am wide the F open. I may run through this and score on this one. And you hold onto the football, double clutch, and it's too late because the window has gone. So, yeah, no, Skylar Thompson did not play well. He just happened to be there in a close game. But Davis Mills, yeah, sure, trade your backup away. I'm sure that's a good idea. The Texans aren't doing that.
What about just Mills for Skylar Thompson?
So you want a worse backup here?
Yeah, I know.
How does that help the Texans?
It doesn't. Maybe throw in a fifth, you know?
Just you're transaction Twitter right now. Transaction but Twitter doesn't look at
for
what
the pleasure of doing business.
Yeah, just want to make a trade. Just a trade to make a trade.
Yeah, make a trade.
Hey, I want some. It's too boring right now. Let's make a move with our backup quarterback.
Like trigger finger is itching.
I need a little hit. No, you don't. Keep your backup there because you may very well need him, as the Packers and Dolphins have found out through 2 weeks, and the Packers found out in week one. Okay. Surprisingly, we went long. When I come back, and we come back, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Rice and the Cougs. That game's on Saturday. Well, tomorrow. Just say tomorrow. And it's at TDECU at 7. So we'll give away those tickets when we come back. It'll be a short one because we have Michael Carroll at 11:30. Stay tuned for another prize there, too. We're just giving away prizes all show long. We will be back. And before I bid adieu for 3 minutes and then come back, let's talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is a place you go to if you believe the Texans won't have any injuries and are going to, you know, win the division, win the Super Bowl. You can still place bets on Texans winning the Super Bowl. You can do that at MyBookie.ag because they let you bet on anything, anywhere, and anytime. Remember, they have their loyalty program called MyBookie Plus. It's just like a tiered program where the more you play, the more you win, the more you get back. Take advantage of that because MyBookie is offering you anything and everything to make your experience better. Just go to MyBookie.ag and check them out, from the live betting option to betting on college football and the NFL, along with the Premier League. That's coming back, I think, today. And then you obviously all have all the games over the weekend. So international soccer, football, baseball, as we go down the home stretch in the regular season, MyBookie will take those bets. Remember, use promo code BET975 to make your bets go further and your money go further. Go to MyBookie.ag. They don't just do the sports betting, though. Remember, you got the live casino stuff as well. You want to play cards, you want a live dealer, they do that for you, too. Go to MyBookie.ag. That's MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Okay, we'll do this right now. If you want to go to the Cougs Rice game, be caller 4 right now. 713-780-3776. The game's tomorrow out at TDECU. Both teams coming off good performances. I mean, Rice just took Texas Southern apart. Just a blowout for them. And the Cougs were in Norman, pushed an SEC team to the brink. Played better, just couldn't get over the top. Their offense squandered some opportunities, but if you just look at the numbers, they played well. So 713-780-3776 is the number there if you want to go to the game tomorrow, Rice versus UH. Caller number 4. So it's going to be a big college football weekend. We talked a little bit about that earlier. We'll get into that probably in the last segment because we're short on time here. But remember, tickets are just $15. So if you don't win tickets from us, you can go out there and go out there, inexpensive, take the family out there, enjoy the hard-hitting action between the two crosstown rivals. The Bayou Bucket is in play. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS now to get your tickets. 713-GO-COUGS. And if you do that now, you can get some tickets. Come early, be loud, wear red. The Cougs versus Rice. That game is always pretty interesting. Whatever you think of the teams, whatever their season prospects are, they generally put on a good show. Last year's game was good. Not great if you like the Cougs, considering the result. And they were probably pretty miserable for about three quarters of that game as Rice jumped out to a big lead. Luke McCaffrey, who's now a Commander, had a nice afternoon. And the and Rice went on to win that game in overtime. So Rice, Cougs, tomorrow at 7. Okay, just comfort yourself with knowing that you are not this franchise anymore. Like, during the relative dark days for the Astros, it'd be like bring your dog to the ballpark night, and you'd have like these dogs running around on a Sunday. They get out on the field, They'd be in the stands. They were not serious people. They may still do something like that, but at least it's overshadowed by all the winning they've done. But there was a time where the Astros were really pushing, bring your dog to the ballpark. It'll be a fun day for you and the whole family. You know what the Jags are doing? They're changing their name, their stadium name, from Everbank Stadium for a game to Trevor Bank Stadium for a game. This is one of the teams you're competing with for the division, Trevor Bank Stadium. Yes, we understand that they sound similar. Doesn't make it clever. Doesn't Trevor Lawrence talked about it, said, hey, I'm not usually a guy who likes the spotlight, but I thought this was clever. No, Trevor, it's not clever. It's not clever at all, Trevor.
Oh, Clever Bank Stadium.
That'd be funny. Not Trevor Bank Stadium.
Yeah, I would love to know the person who pitched this. Just like the like.
Do you think it came from the Jags or from Everbank, the sponsor, the title sponsor for the stadium? Which side do you think this idea came from?
Probably the Jags. I would guess
added value.
Jags
to Everbank.
Promo. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trevor Bank. This is really clever.
It better go on CBS. I better see the graphic on CBS saying Trevor Bank Stadium. Because, you know, when they do the intro, Browns, Jags, I want to see Trevor Bank Stadium if we're doing this thing.
Or even in, like, the pregame show where James Brown is, like, they go to the sideline reporter
I need everyone bought
for
in.
For the inactives.
I need everyone bought in. If we're doing this, James Brown better call it Trevor Bank Stadium. Whoever is on the sideline, the play-by-play guy, everybody. If you're promoting it. Get everybody involved to sound stupid.
It is exactly. I actually compared it to not bring your dog to the ballpark day, but it is more like when a minor league team changes their name to like the Chuck Norrises or something, when it's like the SpongeBob day at Corpus Christi.
And they wear SpongeBob uniforms, yeah.
Yeah. That's what this feels more like. It would be one thing if Trevor Lawrence was like awesome, you know? If this was Pat Mahomes and they did that, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. At least he won three Super Bowls.
Yeah, you're given a stadium name change to the 16th best quarterback in football. Who cares? Who cares? Trevor Bank Stadium. Look, but he's your one, and he's the guy. So do whatever you so choose. But I need everyone involved. Since the Texans play on Sunday night, I'm going to make that game.
Must watch.
My Sunday ticket game, even though I'm going to watch it through different means. I need and if I'm going to report back. If I don't see any Trevor Bank from people in the building
if
calling
Andrew
it.
Andrew Catalan
is not saying Trevor Bank, I'm going to have a problem. I need buy-in from everyone.
Adam Archuleta.
It better not be. It can't just be this local thing for the Jacksonville area. It can't just be on the Jags website.
Yeah, or just like in the theme, like in the stadium for all the in-stadium entertainment stuff.
Yeah, it can't be only something people who wound up at the game know about.
No.
I need the Cleveland Brown fans who are losing their minds because Deshaun Watson's like 4 for 9 for 35 yards in the middle of the second quarter to be even more furious because they have to listen to the play-by-play guy. Back to Trevor Bank Stadium.
Yeah,
when Bill Cowher does a highlight of another game,
when they cut into one game for real quick. We got action heating up in Jacksonville
at Trevor Bank Stadium. I need him to say it, or this is all for naught.
Yeah. Not Calvin Ridley. They don't have him anymore. Who's the Brian Thomas?
Yes.
Brian Thomas making his mark early here in Trevor Bank Stadium with the 6-yard touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence.
If you're watching the Jets versus Tennessee, if you're getting that game for some reason, I need Chris Hansen to call it Trevor Bank Stadium.
Oh, you know what?
Chris Hansen. What's his name?
I 100% think that
Scott Hansen
is
yeah.
going to do it. Chris Hansen.
It's a completely different guy. Yeah, completely different vibe. Yeah,
Jags are predators. not the kind that Mr. Hansen normally deals
That's
with,
very
but they
true.
Are predators.
They are predators, yes.
But yeah, I think Scott Hansen will be 100% in on the bit if he knows about it. I think he does.
The producers of Red Zone better have informed him, and yes. I need to hear it.
Trevor Bank.
I got to get it from someplace other than the in stadium entertainment.
Do they? No, I guess they don't do that. They do that in college and in basketball, but they don't do it in the NFL where they have the field, like they have the logo of the stadium on the, like Toyota Center. Yeah. They have the Toyota Center logo on, somewhere
you
on,
just think
on the court.
Some outline of long hair.
I was just thinking you just write out Everbank and then
Trevor.
Cross it out. Trevor Bank.
Or just add the TR. You don't even have to cross it out. Just add a TR at the front.
Yeah.
In a different font or something.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So we'll see. I doubt my dream is going to come true. I got to entertain myself. My quarterback's been concussed, and we got blown out on a Thursday night. I got to find some way to make the games on Sunday interesting. Michael Carroll will join us next to talk about what you should or maybe shouldn't be watching in TV and movies. We'll do that next.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Welcome back to the show. Michael Carroll, who will blatantly tell you he was forced to say things during a spot, just to let you know. He has a certain standard.
Just to be clear, I did not write it.
Yeah, he has a certain standard, and sometimes the copy falls below it, and he's going to let you know about it. Michael Carroll joins us, who has complete creative control, at least for now, on Comicast, which you can listen to.
That's true, yeah, I do.
Which you can listen to on Spotify.
I'm sorry, John.
And Apple, and here from 9 to 10 on Friday nights on 97.5. And 97.9 if you have the HD. If you have HD2 in your car, you can listen to it on 97.9 as well. So, Michael Carroll's in the building.
Hello.
Also, stay tuned because we're going to give away something that fits the Michael Carroll segment before we wrap it up. Something about a new show coming to Disney Plus. You'll get an early screening and a gift card along with it. So, stay tuned for that. So, on Comicast this week, there was no Jong, but there were discussions about Spider-Man 4, which has a new director, Rings of Power Season 2. I have not seen Episode 4 yet. I've seen Episodes 1 through 3. If you don't know what that is, I guess you would call it sort of a prequel series to the long trilogy that is not The Hobbit, because The Hobbit was one people don't care about, but Lord of the Rings. It's true. People don't care that much about The Hobbit.
That's a good point.
In some cases, they ask, why did you make it? So you can see that on Amazon. If you were disgusted by the game last night, you could have tuned right over to watch Episode 4.
Yeah. Episode 5, actually.
Episode 5. Okay, I have seen Episode 4. Episode 5 was last night. You are correct. So, Michael Carroll, what are your big takeaways? Oh, the other thing is, with the news of Spider-Man 4 director coming out, we also have word that we got to wait a long time for the third in the Spider-Verse trilogy.
Yes, supposedly they're redoing a lot of that movie, Sony. I don't know if it's a Sony thing or if it's Lord and Miller, like what exactly it is. But a movie that was like, oh, it's going to come out the very next year, not coming out till maybe 2020.
Which goes back to our discussion about the delays and why it takes so long for things to get made now. Animation, you kind of expect some of that, but now they gave us a date. Don't tell us something and then take it away. So
they kind of jumped the gun on that. And then we referenced the Spider-Man 4 director. It's Destin Daniel Cretton, supposedly.
From Shang-Chi, right? He directed
Shang-Chi. He's been working on other Marvel stuff. He was working on the Avengers movie, Kang Dynasty. Of course, that went away. But he supposedly is now doing Spider-Man 4, which means Shang-Chi 2, who knows when? Maybe 2026, 2027, which would be 5 to 6 years after that movie released.
Does that movie have the type of juice that people are going to be looking forward to it 5 years after it was made?
I hope so, because that was one of the bright spots. But, I mean, casual audience? I don't know.
And you got to know why Shang-Chi is important to the overarching Marvel experience. Who knows?
Yeah.
In some cases, the fact that they like to tie everything in kind of hurts the product. Obviously, they did it well before with Thanos and the Avengers and all that. But now it seems like it's kind of getting in the way. So that's some of the stuff you can hear on Comicast. We also talked about it before it came out. Did you see Rebel Ridge?
I did. I watched it last Friday.
Rebel Ridge is a Netflix movie. It was actually more, you watch it and it seems like this big time action movie. There is action in it, but there was, I guess, more story than I would have suspected.
It was a lot of build up.
From what appeared to be just this full on action movie from the trailer.
And it's not just a John Wick or like I compared it just in terms of story, but in terms of action is nowhere near what Rambo is, like the first one specifically. That thing's bloody. Like,
yeah.
This movie is, it's not even really that graphic, I would say.
No.
There's not really that much blood or anything like that.
Yeah, because the protagonist isn't someone who has actually killed all that. He is actually more of a disable as opposed to he's
more
killing someone.
Yeah, he's more about control, and disabling, and I mean the way he handles with like jiu-jitsu and all that, like I think is really well done, and I think it's a nice change of pace for an action movie, because typically it's action movie, kill everybody, and then that's how we solve the problem at the end of the day. This one, he's not going to kill everybody. He's doing things that are against the corrupt cops. That I like that movie and how it built up the story, how it set the stage for what he was trying to do. And also, he didn't really want to do it.
No.
He was the reluctant hero for sure.
Exactly. He was actually on the way. I don't want to give it away for people who haven't watched. But Rotten Tomatoes, if you care about that sort of thing, certified fresh at 95%. You can watch that on Netflix right now. Michael Carroll talks about it on Comcast. Don Johnson is the big bad in that one. And Aaron Pierre is probably a name you don't know. You probably have seen him in certain things. He is the lead in that one. Does a really good job.
Which, did you know that John Boyega was set to initially play?
I had no idea.
That character?
No idea.
And I like John Boyega. Don't get me wrong.
But I don't get the action star vibe from him.
No, especially with the way Aaron Pierre plays it.
And yeah, and just even, I mean, it's not fair to Boyega. You're as tall as you are. You're just who you are, but
he's 5'9".
Aaron Pierre is like 6'3".
Yeah, it makes a massive difference, and I think he stepped away from the project because of family reasons, and then the pandemic happened. But what they ended up getting out of this movie is very good and well worth your time compared to other Netflix movies, like one that's out today that's not probably worth your
time. What's that? We always get into this. What's a movie I should not watch? And by the way, Aaron Pierre's having a big year. He'll be the voice of Mufasa in the Mufasa the Lion King movie that's coming out.
He was supposed to be in Blade, but, you know.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. But the movie I'm referencing is Uglies on Netflix.
Oh, with Joey King.
With Joey King, the Netflix darling,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a young adult drama in the vein of, like, Hunger Games or Divergent or even Maze Runner.
It's based off a YA title, right?
Yeah, off a YA title. 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. The first couple of trailers.
Hook me. I didn't think, I need to watch this.
No, it didn't hook me. In fact,
it was
like,
I don't want to watch this.
It made me go, hard pass.
Yeah.
Hard pass. So I'm passing on Uglies. So go watch Rebel Ridge on Netflix.
If you have not seen that, go watch that. So there is a show that we will probably talk about more next week because it doesn't premiere till next week, but we have a chance to give some tickets away and a gift card away. Agatha All Along is premiering on Disney Plus on the 18th. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to give you a chance to see it early in my neck of the woods at the Cinemark NASA. So if you don't know anything about Agatha, she's a character from WandaVision, Catherine Hahn. You'll recognize the face if you don't know the name. And the infamous Agatha Harkness finds herself down and out after her power's been taken away. And she gets the help from a suspicious goth teen. Oh, those goth teens. She breaks her free from a spell. Together, Agatha and this mysterious teen pull together a desperate coven and set off down the road. So caller 5 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of advanced screening tickets at Cinemark NASA on September 17th, plus a $50 gift card courtesy of the series Agatha All Along releases on September 18th on Disney Plus. So Agatha felt like, when she made an appearance, she had the song that everyone loved.
Yeah,
I didn't suspect they would turn this into a series, but once it hit. Do you have any expectations for Agatha All Along?
I told Jong on when one of the first trailers dropped. It has the feel of it is a little bit darker than I expected. You know, because I was like you. I was like, really? Do we need an Agatha show? She was cool in the show. Don't get me wrong. Catherine Hahn, phenomenal actress. She nailed it as Agatha. But did we really need that like series about her? But the first couple of trailers have me sold. It's dark, but it still has that like comedic tendency that she had from the show, from WandaVision. So my expectations are not like way high, you know, super like it's going to be the most amazing show of the year. But I think it's going to be a solid show. And if you are in the mood for something kind of like WandaVision, I think this is probably going to be up your alley. They make a playoff like what's the Mayor of Easttown. They play off of that. They play off some different shows. It's not the exact same formula that they did with WandaVision, but it's a similar, at least at first, that seems interesting to me. I'm all about it.
So Disney Plus next week, Agatha All Along, and hopefully it looks like we do have our winner, so that's cool. So you've given us something we shouldn't watch. I hit you with a surprise in Agatha All Along. What would you recommend this week?
So this weekend at the theater, if you're going to watch anything, go watch Speak No Evil, the James McAvoy Mackenzie Davis project about a family that stays with this kind of weird family. And it's like, it's okay. I'm sure it's fine. It's not okay. It's not fun.
That very quickly, at least according to the trailer, I'm not sure how quickly into the movie you find out it's not fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you get the sense that things are going to turn.
But it's getting high praise from both critics and audiences right now. There's also The Killer's Game, which is the Dave Bautista movie and Sofia Boutella.
But she of Rebel Moon fame,
of course. Yeah, yeah, the best movie.
Yes,
that one I can't recommend. 36% on Rotten Tomatoes and just poor reviews. Like, I think audiences are probably going to like it a little bit more because it's just the dumb action comedy aspects of it. But it's something that you probably should wait on. Really, if you want to go watch it, if you want to watch anything in theaters, go watch Speak No Evil. I also saw in the YouTube chat earlier, Donna Rogers was talking about Blazing Saddles. The 50th anniversary for that film is out on Sunday this weekend. So you can go to most theaters around your area, probably will have a couple of screenings for it. I know in the Houston area, there's about six or seven theaters that have it. So check out Blazing Saddles, the 50th anniversary, if you want to check that out.
Okay. If we're staying at home, whether it's to drown your tears because your favorite college football team lost, you don't want to make it a public appearance. If we're looking to stay home, what's on the docket?
This weekend, you probably should put on Hulu because there's actually a lot of things on Hulu this weekend. The Old Man Season 2 premieres.
Okay.
I believe it actually premiered last night on FX, the first two episodes, and now they're available on Hulu. And every Friday will be new episodes on Hulu, every Thursday on FX. There's also Die Alone, which is How to Die Alone, a dramedy, which is getting very good reviews. A 30-minute dramedy, it's a quick watch. First four episodes are out now on Hulu. I watched the trailer for that this morning. Looks good. Looks okay. Like an interesting premise. So I would recommend that. And then a movie that I know I missed, so I want to go check it out, because the last Bill Skarsgård movie did not do it for me. Boy Kills World, which released in theaters back in April, is out on Hulu this weekend.
Which is the one you didn't like?
The Crow.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't good. Okay.
I think you were out when I could have done my review.
Okay.
Not good.
Not good. There not it is. Very, short and sweet.
Very not good.
Not good. Okay.
But there's also Civil War.
I have seen Boy Kills World.
You have seen Boy Kills World?
Okay.
Okay.
It's fine. You're at home. You don't have to pay for it as long as you have Hulu. Take a watch if you so choose.
Civil War is on Max this weekend. One of the other big movies that released earlier this year. If folks want to check that out on Max. And then the Tulsa King Season 2 premieres on Paramount Plus on Sunday. So you got those two to check out if you want.
So there's plenty to watch if you want to get away from sports for the weekend. Thank you, Michael Carroll. Once again, you can listen to Michael Carroll's podcast, Comicast, right here from 9 to 10 on ESPN 97.5. Also, wherever you find your podcast, you can listen to it there as well. It is issue 555. He'll give a more in-depth review of Rebel Ridge. He'll talk about the Spider-Man 4 director and also some Rings of Power spoiler reviews as well.
If you want to hear me mispronounce all the Lord of the Rings names, you can listen to this issue of 555. Oh. Me and Jennifer Chang, we try. Like, she does better than I do.
You messed up Gil-galad?
Who? Well, Isildur? Is that his
Isildur?
Name? How is that how you say it?
From,
I don't know.
From the guy Elrond says, Isildur, throw it into the fire. It's one of the biggest parts of the beginning of Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring. You don't remember that?
That's his name, yeah.
What are we doing? His younger self is in... Oh, John needs to get you up to date, because John would know. He's a big Lord of the Rings nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently so am I, considering I vibe. Pronounced that.
Celebrimbor. I know that.
There, how could you not know Isildur and be able to pronounce Celebrimbor?
The eye threw me off. Mm. The eye throws
Elrond?
Me off. Elrond.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah,
I'm done with you. Thanks, Michael Carroll.
Adar. That's what it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've lost a smidgeon of respect.
If
not a lot.
But if you don't see me next Friday, you know
he'll
what
be
happened.
Back.
Okay. Good.
He'll be back.
Okay.
I just need someone else to talk to sometimes. Oh. Gets lonely in here. We got one short segment to go before we wrap it up. Thank you to Michael Carroll. Comicast, not with John Lee, but will be with John Lee again. Google, not so much, but Spotify, Apple, and ESPN 975. You can hear it in all those places. We'll be back.
ESPN 975.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
This will be very short, so we can get into some college football stuff. I think we both expect the Texans to handle the Bears on Sunday night. We don't need to give a full-on prediction. We just think they win that game.
Yeah.
Easily. Relatively easily, right?
Relatively easy.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears may cause a turnover or two. They certainly did that against Will Levis, but we think they win that easily. So, beyond Texas needing to cover, so you can see some Arch Manning. Let's look at these games to see which one you think is the most must-watch. According to USA Today, these are the football games for college football that you should watch. We talked about this earlier, Arizona and Kansas State. That's a ranked matchup tonight on Fox. Alabama, Wisconsin, that's more schadenfreude for me to see.
No, do not watch that.
Oh, clear answer there. That's more for me to see if TVD Tyler Van Dyke can decipher his own. I'm going to say no. But I do want to see Alabama in Madison. That's an interesting spot for them. They never make those type of trips. You got the rivalry between Oregon and Oregon State. BC versus Mizzou.
Watch.
That's a must watch. No, a watch. Not a must watch, but a watch. Missouri hasn't been tested. Not that BC is a big test, but at least they're ranked.
Keep an eye on it.
And we haven't seen much of Missouri, but a lot of people think highly of them with Brady Cook and Lester Burden.
At the very least, you'll get
Luther
first.
Burden, excuse me.
You'll get your first Mizzou pedal to the metal.
Yeah,
type of game.
They'll try.
Yeah,
they'll actually try in that one. So we'll see what Mizzou's got. A team who has playoff aspirations. We got the Apple Cup in September. I know that's weird, but it's happening. Washington versus Washington State.
Doesn't move me.
Washington, very different from the team we saw last year,
yeah.
But they are ranked. And Notre Dame at Purdue. Notre Dame trying to bounce back from a loss at home to Northern Illinois.
No Bayou Bucket?
No, but we do have South Carolina versus LSU as the final must-watch game of the weekend.
That one's a good one.
Yeah.
That one you should watch. No A&M Florida? That might be the most must-watch.
For reasons beyond good football.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know.
If Billy Napier loses that one, you might as well just pack it up for him. Home game against what we think is a somewhat average A&M team.
Yeah. And Memphis versus FSU. Like, there's way more must-watch than.
But I don't think he's looking at it from our perspective where, you know what would be funny? If this happened. I'm not sure that's what he's grading the teams are.
Not
but you got a point, though.
Crunching popcorn with a smile on your face.
Because
that's not the scale.
A&M could delude themselves into thinking things are going well if they beat. Not that they're not, but you beat Florida, a name brand program. You'd be like, oh, look, there's some validation for what we're doing here. Except Florida's not good. But you can always convince yourself that things are going right. And then, of course, if Florida loses, it's like, oof. All right, man. All right, Sunbelt Billy. Better get that resume ready if you haven't already.
Yeah.
We are done for the week. Gaunt and George up next. Joe George has changed his appearance. If you stay tuned on Twitch or Twitter or YouTube, you'll see what he's done to make himself look a bit silly, I guess. And obviously, the Killer Bees follow them. We'll talk Texans on Monday. And, of course, if anything interesting happens in college football, like it always does, we'll talk about that too. So we're done for the week, Sean. So what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN 97.5.